G-O-D Radio. And on Twitter.
You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Pompeii, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Sounds. We are elated that you have chosen this broadcast on this evening, and we look forward to God blessing you. Stay tuned.
Well, praise the Lord. This is Pastor Thomas Robinson of Victory International Praise, along with guest Bishop, Dr. Bishop Daniels. Oh, glory to God. And we thank God for him. And we thank God for you listening in. We thank God for life, health, and strength, the active use of our limbs. We thank God for his joy this morning. Oh, glory to God. His joy is our strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was looking for something here, as a matter of fact, and don't look like I'm going to be able to find it, but I just wanted to recommend this wonderful brother who does a great job of tinting windows, Justin Tinting. Amen. And I was trying to find his card and his telephone number, but I'll have it for you the next time we come on the air, either by the time we get finished. Praise the Lord. All right, let's see. We were talking about marriage on yesterday. How you doing, man of God?
I am absolutely blessed.
All right, all right. We were talking about marriage on yesterday, and praise God, I just believe that we want to go right back into marriage. I believe, we, as a matter of fact, we ended up, with a strong topic, just talking about submitting, praise the Lord. And so the man of God was hitting it, and I tell you what, he said something about order. And there has to be order in the home, and it's the way that God created it. Anything with two heads is nothing but a monster. Oh, glory to God. And yes. So, but one of the things that I was sharing is that I realized a long time ago that even as I submit to, because the Bible also says to submit ye one to another. And I realized that there are times that I have to, as a man, listen to what my wife is saying. Come on, I need to have an ear to what she is saying, especially when you got a good wife, because they have your best interest in mind. And some of you brothers out there that are listening, praise God, to me and Bishop, amen, you need to be open at times to what it is or the advice that your wife is giving you. I remember one day being at home, and we had some guests over, and the wife was trying to advise her husband to do a certain thing, and he just wasn't hearing it. But I could hear, I could discern what she was telling him was correct. And so I begin to, just share with him that, in this matter, he needs to listen to his spouse. The Bible says, submit ye one to another. And I've come to find out that even as I submit and my wife submit, because we had a discussion one day, and because we were bouncing, heads bouncing off of each other. And I said, you know what? I said, I believe that if we just submit to the word of God, we'll automatically be submitting one to another. In other words, let's just, both of us, just do what the word has said. And I believe that when God gave me that revelation, that understanding, oh, glory to God, it has helped us to endure and get way down the road. So I'm going to give a shout out to her while I'm thinking about it. Praise God. Go ahead, man of God. What you got to say?
Well, first of all, thank God for being here again another day. And as you were talking, the scripture took me back to, if we're talking about marriage, you have to. go to the Word,
right,
as we are doing.
Right.
But there are things that are in place in God's Word. 1 Corinthians, mm-hmm, chapter number 7. Mm-hmm. As Paul deals with the widow, he deals with the virgin, mm-hmm, the young lady, and then he deals with the married. Mm-hmm. And there are many that I've shared with that really have never read 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, wow, where Paul deals with all three avenues. If you are a single woman, mm-hmm, there you care for the things of the Lord, mm-hmm, how you may please Him, how you may serve and worship Him as being single. Mm-hmm. As a widow, Paul deals with understanding your loved one is gone.
Right.
But as the married people, he really deals with understanding that your body is now not your own.
Right.
It belongs to that man, mm-hmm, and his belongs to you. Mm-hmm. You are not in competition,
right,
with one another.
Competing, comparing.
And you're not trying to live your own life anymore.
Right.
Those walls must come down. Mm-hmm. And when those walls come down...
Yeah, get them down, Bishop. Because a lot of people that are listening right now, and they heard you say that, and there may be someone that say, man, I'm dealing with walls, and it seems like the walls that go up to heaven that was mentioned in the Bible in the Old Testament when they got to a city. Uh-huh. They said the walls went up to the heaven. And so how do you get those walls down? And I know, anyways, I'm going to let you answer that. I can say something to you.
No. To your point, this is what me and my wife have literally said in the wisdom that God has given me, mm-hmm, in the counseling curriculums that I've studied. Mm-hmm. How do you get an elephant out of your house?
All right.
You get him out while he's a baby.
Oh, good.
You get the elephant out while it's a baby.
Wow.
Because when it's grown fully, it's hard to get that elephant out the house there. So when you have issues, it's the small foxes
that's
fall to mind.
Right.
So you deal with the things when they're small, mm-hmm, even though it's the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah.
You have to deal with that elephant. And my wife loves elephants. We got pictures everywhere. Anyway, you have to deal with that thing,
right,
when it's small.
Right.
Because when it starts growing,
wow, that's good,
it ain't coming up out that house.
Wow.
Somebody gonna have to shoot it.
Wow, that's good.
Go ahead, my friend.
That was powerful. That was powerful. He said we got to deal with it from the beginning, you know. And there's some things, Bishop, I was sitting here when you said that I know now that I didn't know, and I wish I would have known at the beginning. The Bible talks about the unity of the Spirit in Ephesians 4. We can run over there right quick. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
Ephesians 4, verse 3. The Bible says that, and I love this here because you said we got to go back to the Word. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring. In other words, we got to work at keeping the unity. A lot of us, when we're tied to each other soulishly, we're knitted together soulishly. But there is no spiritual knitting. I've come to find out that my relationship with the Lord, through prayer and reading the scripture, there has been a spiritual knitting where I have gotten in tune with the Holy Spirit, and now I'm being led by the Spirit of God. Well, also there can be a knitting with you and your spouse very early on. What I mean by this is that you remember when the Bible talked about the apostles and many of the disciples were in the upper room, and the Bible says they were praying with one accord in one place. I'm going to say that again. They were praying, and the Bible says they were with one accord in one place. Now, you know and I know that you can get 100 people together, and they will never be on one accord and be in one place. You know, there are times when you get a bunch of people together and somebody's like, well, I think this ought to be blue, and I think this ought to be red, and I think you ought to do it this way, right? But one thing about spiritual knitting, when you're knitted together, and it comes through prayer, and this is why I tell people, married people, pray with your spouse every day. Pray in the morning. Pray in the evening. Pray. And what it causes is a knitting, knitting to the point that you could be at work and you could be thinking, boy, I sure would like to have a German chocolate cake. And you get home and your wife has picked you up in the spirit. Come on. And there's a German chocolate cake. Come on, waiting on the counter. That's what I'm talking about. And this is why the Bible says endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit in the bond of peace. You can unite. Come on, you can be knitted together. Some of us are just, and I'm going to say it one more time, I'm turning it back over to Bishop. Some of us, you're just, you're Christians, you're saved, you're born again, but you're knitted soulishly with your wife. Come on, you're trying to do this thing with your soulish man or your mind. Come on, you're trying to walk in this marriage with your soul. Because guess what, when I used to tell my wife, I says, hey, are we going to do anything? Let's fight to keep the peace. Come on, my God. In other words, guess what? You know, and that takes some effort. You got to put some effort in this thing. Come on, to fight to keep the peace, to fight to keep the unity. Sometimes we're fighting for what we want, fighting for our cause. You know, and when you fight to keep the peace, that means you got to overlook some stuff. Come on, you got to overlook some socks on the floor. You got to overlook some underwear on the floor. Come on. Oh, glory to God. There's some things that you got to look past. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sin. Well, also love covers shortcomings also. And the last time I checked, both people in the marriage got shortcomings. Now, some may want to make you think that they ain't got no shortcomings, but they got shortcomings. Go ahead, man.
I want to deal with that peace factor.
Okay, go ahead.
Because, as you said, that we need to fight for the peace in the marriage. There's a scripture in Romans 12:18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Mm-hmm. But this is what I found out. All men don't want peace.
Oh, that's good. Wow, that's good.
Men don't want peace. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a marriage and you're constantly fighting, where at one point the moon had not tipped over and the honey had not run out, you were still on the honeymoon. But now, all of a sudden, can we go back to what you said on yesterday, which was that low-level witchcraft?
Yeah.
Now, not only is that the key, but the scripture said disobedience is like the spirit of witchcraft.
Yeah.
So now you're dealing with the spirit that's in the house.
Oh, that's good.
That you're not dealing with, and all of a sudden this elephant is growing.
Oh, that's good.
Because now it's inviting on the spirits in your circumference.
My God.
Now your home has become a house.
That is. Oh, that's good. That's good teaching, y'all.
And because it's become a house, now the walls are there, Now things are happening. Now there is no peace. Now all of a sudden, I'm going to go here. You're sleeping in different rooms. Yeah. You're not praying. You're not talking. Mm-hmm. You know, now you become roommates.
Good. Oh, you're preaching. Go ahead.
And now that you become roommates, now somebody has to be spiritual enough to say enough is enough. Is enough. We need to get back to the Word. And as I said, we've got to be more in love with marriage, with one another, than being right.
That is so good.
Because everybody's right in their own mindset. You know, when I came up, you know, this is why how my mama and daddy did it. Guess what? Then you should have married your mama and daddy.
Now you saying something.
Go ahead, sir.
You saying, boy, did you say something. You know, and I want to hit that where you say about the growing up, but let me say this here. Mark 10 and 9, the Bible says, who God has joined together, let no one separate. How come we always thinking that the no one or the one is outside of us? Okay, all right. How come the no one can't be us? Sometimes it's us. Okay, I don't know. Let me make it plain. Sometimes we saying people are talking about my marriage. People are coming against my marriage. People are sometimes the we're the biggest ones. Come on. And then sometimes we're looking at each other even as enemies, and your spouse is not your enemy.
Absolutely.
We're not each other's enemies. We only got one enemy, and that's the devil.
Absolutely.
I used to look at my spouse, Bishop, as the enemy, and the devil had me fooled for the longest. And so because I used to look at her as an enemy and not a literal sense, I knew she was my spouse, but he'll have you looking at flesh. Come on. He'll have you all looking at each other's flesh, not realizing that he's the one that's sitting there laughing, like, look what I've done. Look what the mess that I've created. I remember one day, and it's amazing because you can know the Word, but sometimes the Word is not quickened in you. And me and my wife, probably a couple of years into our marriage, we was having this big argument. And we were standing in front of each other, and we were arguing about something that I can't even remember. And all of a sudden, that scripture that I had been reading, that we're no longer the fighting flesh and blood, but spirits and principalities, wickedness in high places, all of a sudden, it just came up, became alive. I understood what it meant. And I asked my wife, I said, step aside. And she wouldn't step aside. And so, you know what? I stepped around her, and I said, devil, my wife is not my enemy.
Absolutely.
I only got one enemy, and that's you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you. I went over and opened the door, and I said, in the name of Jesus,
absolutely,
get out. And some of you all are looking at flesh and blood, and you've been fighting flesh and blood for years. Come on, you haven't took the battle to the enemy, and the enemy's just sitting back laughing at you. Come on, that elephant that's in your home, that Bishop has been talking about, is laughing at you. And so what was that other thing that I wanted to hit when you was talking about, Bishop, you saying something. I'll throw this here. Brothers, don't get mad at me.
Right here.
I realized, it took me a while, but I realized that, guess what? You know, because if we're called to be the heads of the home, and we have never learned how to lead properly. I'll talk about myself. I grew up in a house, and I watched my parents, and they did the best that they could.
Absolutely.
They struggled a little bit in communication and stuff like this. Praise God. I was not taught how to be a leader. And when I got into the military, I left school. I got into the military. They made me a lead. I guess they saw something in me that
Absolutely.
I didn't see in myself. But then I didn't know how to lead. The moment that I told somebody to do something, he wouldn't do it, and I thought that we had to go out back and fight. And so we went out back, and I punched him in the face, you know, because I thought that was I thought that was the ideal of leading. Now, it's amazing that when I punched him in the face, Bishop, that one of the things that they did is that they made us, they literally, I want to say they tied us together, not literally by a rope, but everywhere he went, I had to go.
Absolutely.
We had to now sleep, you know, in bunk beds, mm-hmm. and one of us on the top and one of us on the bottom. If he went to sick bay, I had to go to sick mm-hmm. bay with him. If he went to the bathroom, I had to go. Mm-hmm. In other words, they knitted us together.
Yeah.
My God, you know, sometimes when people get mad at each other and they fight, they separate. Mm-hmm. But here, they put us together. Come on. My God, I almost say till we got sick and tired of each other, till we got along. But yeah. anyways, but they made me a lead. I got out, praise God, they went to the Space Center. They made me a lead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was telling the people one day, I said, you know, it took a while for God to make me into a leader. And mm-hmm. I didn't notice it. And I looked back and I said, man, God was putting me in all of these leadership positions because he was teaching me how to lead. And the problem with a lot of us in our homes, okay, men, we're talking to the men now,
yeah.
that you have not been taught how to lead.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. And so now you got to back up and say, God, teach me how to be a leader in my home. Teach me how to lead. I don't know. Come on, this is a part of emptying yourself out, and so that God can put something in you. You know, when Jesus, Mary and Joseph got to the inn, there wasn't no room in the inn. There has to be capacity in you, a room in you to receive instruction mm-hmm. on how to lead. Go ahead.
And you know, and for me, that was the same thing. When I went to the military, you know, they taught us, you know, FM 101 leadership. You know, I remember that stuff. And I rose through the ranks very, very fast. Mm-hmm. And the Lord blessed where I had to learn. They were teaching, and I made many mistakes.
Now, who's that?
I mean, I had NCOs on top of me. But I learned what I needed to do. Mm-hmm. And I was willing to take the bumps. Mm-hmm. I was willing to not act like I knew everything, mm-hmm. even though I was learning.
And that's a problem in the home.
Mm-hmm.
We act like as a leader, I act like I knew anything, mm-hmm. and then I look back and realize I didn't know anything
at all. We have arrived. You haven't arrived. You know,
just got a title with no knowledge.
Yeah, no, we have a title. And as some, as some people, we walk alone, you know. And, you know, and then to your point you said earlier about not communicating and not having leadership as a man. You're sitting there turned one way in the bed, she's turned the other way in the bed, mm-hmm. and the devil's laying in the middle with his arms folded behind his head.
That's good.
You know, and smiling and laughing, you know, to the point where you've got to say, you know what, as I said earlier, enough is enough.
Mm-hmm.
Wife, sit down. You know, when you think you are, I'm trying mm-hmm. to live peaceably mm-hmm. with my wife.
Good.
And my wife has to say, should somebody, it doesn't make you less of a man mm-hmm. to sometimes be emotional because
yes.
it hurts. It doesn't make you less of a woman. Because we know women are full of emotion. Mm-hmm. But somebody has got to come together, you know, at some time and bring themselves together and say, hey, can even if you have to book an appointment with your spouse mm-hmm. next Tuesday at 4:00, we going to sit down and talk.
Mm-hmm.
And we going to start somewhere in order to get back. Because I do believe we loved each other when we got married.
Mm-hmm.
What has happened to us?
Right.
What has happened to the Christ in us?
Mm-hmm.
What has happened to the Holy Ghost
in us?
You know, has he become Casper?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No.
And the problem with that is that, guess what? We can start listening to, you said it a little bit earlier, emotions
yes.
and not the Holy Ghost.
Uh-huh.
Because one of the things that the devil wants to do is that he wants to get you going in a motion or
absolutely.
A direction
absolutely.
That you weren't even intending to
absolutely.
Go. And then by the time you get to the end of the road, you're like, how did I get here? You know, your emotions drove you there.
Or say things that you really didn't mean to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if you it was in your spirit to say, You know, the Holy Ghost say, no, you may not say that. You know, I think you need to put that one in check or bury that. Because, you know, like Grandma say, your flesh going to get you in trouble. And so some things, it's just not good to say.
Yeah.
Not good to do. And as the scripture says, we shouldn't provoke one another.
Yo, that's good. That's good.
Because when we start provoking one another, we already know what road that's going to go down.
That's good.
You know? Yeah. And then, you know what happened? Can I say this?
It depends on the audience whether or
not. When we start provoking one another, and then Satan is sitting there watching, he knows how to whisper in your ear. And to make you think, like Eve, if I listen to another voice,
right?
Hey, I ain't gonna listen to Adam.
Yep.
Go ahead, sir. Right.
Well, praise God. We just thank God for you. We got to bring it on in. My God, I think it was getting good to us. I just believe that a lot of marriages, a lot of relationships have been helped by this topic on the day. And so we thank God. This is Victory International Praise Ministries, Kingdom Sounds. Broadcast. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can reach out to us at I got an email address, TomRob, TomRob 7662 at gmail.com. That's TomRob at gmail dot 7662. TomRob 7662 at gmail.com. Okay, all right. We thank God for you. Thank God for Pastor Paul, WMIE, and all of that good stuff. And we will catch you tomorrow, 6 p.m. to 6:30. God bless you. We love you. Bye-bye.
You are listening to WWBC Cocoa, Merritt Island, 1510 a.m., as well as W234BI Cocoa, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Pompeii, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL Coco, 99.9 FM.
Canada is learning what a professor of mine once said, that whenever you put a price tag on something that's priceless, you cheapen it. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. In 2015, Canada's Supreme Court struck down a 22-year ban on assisted suicide. The next year, Canada's Parliament passed legislation allowing what's known as medical assistance in dying for those who suffer from terminal illness and whose death was reasonably foreseeable. 5 years later, that reasonably foreseeable language was dropped entirely, as well as the requirement of terminal illness. So today in Canada, ending one's life with medical assistance simply requires a physician and a witness to agree that physical or mental suffering is such as, quote, cannot be relieved under conditions that the patient considers acceptable. Next year, that will expand to anyone who has a mental illness like PTSD or depression. Now, none of this, of course, is supposed to alarm us. We're told proponents of assisted death always point to so-called safeguards like physician approval, the uncoerced consent of patients, or humane conditions. They elevate stories like that of Betty Sanguin, an ALS patient who chose to end her life in a Manitoba church, surrounded by friends, family, and clergy who shockingly sought the permission for a made team to kill her in their sanctuary. Even in these so-called safe cases, which are not safe at all, Christians have something to say. Life is sacred. It's given by God as a gift, should never be thrown away. To intentionally end life in a church, that's not a blessing. It's a distortion. Like so many social policies, the realities of doctor-assisted death look nothing like the beatific best-case scenarios described in the sales pitch. In fact, last month in The Spectator, an author named Wan Yizhu provocatively asked, why is Canada euthanizing the poor? Quote, now, as long as someone is suffering from an illness or disability which cannot be relieved under conditions you can